Welcome to the church at Whistling Pines. My name is Sean McCracken. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, the lead team pastor, and we are just so happy to have you. If this is your first time, we pray that God would minister to you, that he would encourage you, that he would be that foot in your pants if that's what you need, or that hug around your neck if that's what you need, or both and. I think we all need both and most of the time. So welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're continuing our series. In fact, this is the last week for Jonah and the God of Second Chances. Have you enjoyed it? We have, over the last few weeks, talked about running from God and how all of us run from God at different times, sometimes weekly, unfortunately, and that God always gives us a second chance. He's always there, just as the prodigal son came back to the father. The father runs out to meet us, and he's pleased to find us. He's pleased to see that we're coming back to him. The second week, we talked about the call of God that's on our lives, and many of us continue to run from the call of God on our lives, both the call in the big sense of the term for our lives, but also the call that we get daily to serve him. We tend to run from it because we don't want to do it for various reasons. And God is a God of second chances. He gives us a second chance. He'll continue to call us. His scripture says that the gifts and call of God is without repentance, meaning he does not take that away from us. The third week, we talked about the message of God, and the message of God is always repent. Repent, turn around, turn from what you're doing that is not pleasing to him, and turn back to God. Last week, we talked about prejudice and how Jonah had a prejudice in his heart towards the people of Nineveh, and so he went the other way, and that all of us have prejudices of some sort that we need to deal with, and we really do need to deal with them, but that God gives us a second chance, that it's not over with. Our relationships are not over with, the ones we have now or the ones that we'll forge in the future, that God wants us to be redeemed, and he wants to give us a second chance. This morning, we're going to talk about another aspect that we have not delved into much with Jonah, and I'm going to introduce it with a video. The aspect of Jonah, one of the reasons why he ran from God and was stuck in a big fish was he was so angry. All of us deal with anger, but men especially. So I'd like to speak to the women for a second. If you would please resist the temptation to nudge your husbands in the ribs. We know we get angry, okay? We know that. In all seriousness, though, anger is one of the big fish in our lives that can swallow us up. So this is very serious. And as with everything we've talked about in this series, it's not just talking about anger and we shouldn't have it and how we have it. We'll delve into all of that this morning. But I want to remind you that God is a God of second chances. That whatever has happened because of your anger in your own life, your own psyche, your own peace, your relationships perhaps that have been bruised and battered, maybe even marriages that are on the rocks or have ended because of anger, that God gives a second chance. We just need to allow him to do that. And we need to overcome this big fish in our life of anger. So will you turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4? Jonah chapter 4, we're in the last chapter of Jonah. It's only four chapters long. Jonah was a very angry man. Do you guys remember the Incredible Hulk? Not the new Incredible Hulk. I'm talking about with Bill Bigsby, the TV show Incredible Hulk. All right. One of the things he used to always say is, "You won't like me if I get angry," because he turned into the Hulk. And maybe some of us can attest that maybe we turn into some sort of an Incredible Hulk, something that just is not our character normally, but anger just gets a part of us. Oh, we're so angry. One of the things that Jonah says over and over again, and I'll paraphrase, is, "I'm so angry, I just want to die." I don't know if any of you have ever been that angry. I'm not quite sure I've ever been that angry that I've wished to die. But that's how angry Jonah is. And one of the reasons he ended up in the big fish, one of the reasons he ran from God, one of the reasons that he still has an issue with God is his anger. So this morning we talked about what it does to our relationships. I want to give you the very sobering fact that it messes with our relationship with God most of all. and that many of us here this morning need to be reminded that we're angry with God. Maybe he took somebody away that we loved, either with death or a breakup of some sort, and we found that we are, in fact, shaking our fist at God Almighty and angry with him. Again, the person we're angry with gives us a second chance. Jonah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry." At what? Because God gave the people of Nineveh a second chance. He saw that they were fasting and putting on sackcloth and ashes and that they were repentant. They were turning back to him, and they will not be destroyed as God said he would. And it made Jonah angry. Verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, unlike me, and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." This is an angry guy. So angry at God and angry at the people of Nineveh that he just wants to die, just wants to end it all. Perhaps God will ask him to do that for another nation he doesn't like. Just kill me now. Verse 4, "But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry?" We're going to talk about that in a minute, but God asks this, in fact, in chapter 4, two times. He asks Jonah, "Do you have any right to be angry?" And I believe he's asking that of us this morning as well. Do you have any right to be angry? Now, I'm going to act a little bit like a psychologist and try to jump in the head of Jonah. Will you join me? So there's many things that could have caused this anger in Jonah. And we're going to talk about five different ways that I believe Jonah was angry. And I believe all five ways are the same reason we get angry. First of all, is pride. Pastor Robert talked last week about pride and prejudice. And one of the issues is pride. And he talked about this last week when he said that pride in the fact that I'm better than this group of people. I'm better than this person. That's pride. Pride creates anger in us. There's a saying that says, "Don't judge me because you sin differently than me." Have you heard that before? And we tend to do that because somebody's different than us, because somebody is struggling with a sin that's way different than ours. We tend to judge them. We tend to look down on them. We tend to be prejudiced towards them, but it's because of the pride in our own hearts. So pride is manifest as anger when we're judgmental, when we look at somebody and they're not as good as us, or we're jealous because we want to be like they are. This anger rises up in us. Let's define anger as an emotion. It comes out and it manifests in different ways. Maybe we hit a wall. Maybe we hit somebody else. Maybe we cuss. Maybe we say hurtful things to our loved ones. Maybe we turn off the TV. However that anger is manifest, it is an emotion. It's an emotion that rises up in our souls. And the enemy can use it as a foothold in our lives. And it can become that big fish that swallows us up from serving God and from having healthy relationships in our lives. Most importantly, our relationship with God the Father. Pride can also manifest in such a way that not only are we judgmental, but we are the ones that determine justice. That we were hurt, we were harmed in some way, and we know what they deserve. And that's really what Jonah was doing. Jonah realized that Nineveh was such an evil people, so ungodly, that the very thing that God threatened and then relented because of their repentant heart of destruction was the very thing that he felt like they deserved. So he placed himself in the shoes of God. He became God. He became jury and executioner. He said they should die. It's because of the pride in his heart. Pride also happens when we know best. We know better than God. Do you realize that that's really what Jonah was doing? When Jonah is angry because God decided not to destroy this nation, he was putting himself in the shoes of God and saying, I know better than you do. My way is better than your way. I think many of us fall into anger, fall into that because of that very thing. We know what would be best for our lives, and we don't completely trust. You hearing me? We don't completely trust God, that maybe God knows a little better than we do. Maybe God knows the outcome of the very thing we're asking for when he chooses not to give it to us. So pride happens, and it manifests as anger in our souls. Another aspect I believe that Jonah dealt with was inconvenience. Men, they say, usually deal with anger more than women. I've got my own issues. I've got my own pet sins, if you will, the things that tug on my soul. Anger isn't usually one of them. I'm not generally an angry guy. But when I do get angry, it's usually because of this, because I'm inconvenienced. Sounds petty. I'm just being honest with you. And I look at Jonah, and I think he was inconvenienced as well. He was in his own country, and God called him out to go to this people, and he knew God would change his mind anyway, and he was inconvenienced. Why should I go? Why do I have to go halfway across the world to do something when I really don't want to do it? And sometimes we're that way, and anger rises up in us. I find that sometimes anger rises up in me when somebody interrupts me from doing something. Petty, right? But anger rises up because what I had planned to do was more important than the person interrupting me. Again, I'm not a very angry person, but that's how anger seems to come to me. It's when I'm inconvenienced. Probably Jonah had a lot of apathy to him too. We know from Scripture that he has prophesied in the past. God has used him. Maybe in this season of his life, he was just kind of apathetic. He didn't really want to go anywhere. He didn't really want to do anything. He was relaxing. He was busy doing something else, whatever it was, and he was inconvenienced. I did want to mention one other thing about pride. I never really even thought about this until a couple weeks ago. I was talking to Brenda in her office, and she mentioned this. I was like, I never looked at it this way. That perhaps Jonah was angry also because he would look like a false prophet in their eyes. He came and said, hey guys, in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. Oh, that didn't come to pass. I look like I have egg on my face. Pride also happens and can create anger in us when we're so concerned about how we'll look to somebody else. So pride and inconvenience, I believe, were part of what Jonah dealt with. Let's continue to read verse 5. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. I want to just mention something about God, that he provides for our needs, even the small things. And sometimes we forget that. And quite honestly, sometimes we take it for granted. That he's not overly concerned with our comfort, but he certainly will provide for our comfort. He did not have to provide a tree. Now we're going to see that he was doing it also as an object lesson to show him the anger that was inside of him and something else. But I just wanted to point out that God does care for our needs in small ways. And that's part of who God is. It's not just the big things. It's not just that he parts Red Seas in our lives, but that he provides shade in our lives. He supplies coming to a church that we actually enjoy. He provides being married to somebody that we actually love and we actually like. That's God. That's his heart. He wants us to be happy. But his plan is more important than our happiness. Maybe we don't want to hear that. Maybe Jonah didn't want to hear that. But it's the truth. Verse 6, then the Lord God provided a vine, and it made it grow over Jonah to give him shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the vine. Verse 7, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. Circumstances in our lives chew on our shade. The very things that make us happy, obstacles come into play. They just do. We live in a broken down world. Verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Jonah was a messed up guy. He wanted to die all the time. He was so angry at being uncomfortable. Anger rises up in us when we're uncomfortable. We showed the video of the guy in the office. He was frustrated. Why? Because he was uncomfortable. He wanted the printer to work the first time. It didn't. And we're all in that situation at different times in our lives. Then he was even more uncomfortable when he got ink all over him. And he raged out. He just freaked out and tore the computer from his desk and threw it away. We do that in our own lives. We get so angry because we're uncomfortable. Sometimes that uncomfortability comes from pain. We have that sun, whatever that sun is in our lives, beating down on us. Maybe it's we don't have a job. Maybe it's we have issues with our relationships. And it's just beating down on us. It does not feel good. It is not comfortable. It is not providing shade. And instead of running to God, we get angry. We allow that emotion rise up in us. And then it manifests in different ways. We tear the computer out of the wall and throw it away. We tear the relationship out of our lives and throw it away because we are uncomfortable. I believe Jonah was very uncomfortable. And God was trying to teach him a lesson. Look, I provided this gourd, this tree, this vine, this thing with big leaves, whatever it looked like, to grow up overnight for you. But I can also take it away. To show him his anger. He had deeper issues in his soul than just providing for his comfort. When we're uncomfortable, we get angry, don't we? Adam Clark said this, what is all discontent but anger with God? Wow. Let that set in for a minute. He may have gone too far with that statement. I don't know. But think about it. If we're discontented in our lives and we're angry about that, the anger eventually is towards God. Because he allowed that situation, or we may say he caused that situation in our lives. To the anger, the problem with anger is it destroys relationships, most importantly our relationship with God. Remember, Jesus summed up all of the law and the prophets into two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Both are paramount to God. Anger destroys both. It's huge, it's big. It's not just, oh, that's just my character flaw. Your character flaw is destructive. And if we can meet it at its source, if Adam Clark is correct, then it's really our anger with God. I think we know when overtly we're angry with God. But do we realize that perhaps we're angry with God and we don't even know it? And he seems a million miles away, and maybe it's because we're angry with him. God gives a second chance. Notice verse 9. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? He asks him again. do you have a right to be angry about the vine? His answer, I do, he said. Jonah has entitlement. When we have entitlement, we do get angry when our needs are not met. Jonah felt like he deserved that shade. He deserved to be comfortable. He deserved to not have a son beating on him. And he became angry. When we get things we think we deserve, or when we don't get things we think we deserve, we get angry, just as Jonah did. A lot of us feel like because we're king's kids, because we're God's children, then nothing wrong should ever happen to us. That is a messed up theology that is a part of our culture. Nothing in Scripture says that. In fact, everything in Scripture says the opposite. It says that we live in a broken world, a world that is also groaning for the return of Christ, just as we are. We have Scripture, we have Jesus, who tells us offenses will come. Nothing says, because you're God's children, nothing will ever happen to you. But yet, we can quickly feel this entitlement. I'm entitled to happiness. I'm entitled for shade. No, you're not. No, I'm not. Anything God gives us, our next breath, is grace. We did not do anything to deserve it. Jonah felt like something he did, maybe his past service for Christ, maybe it was because he finally did obey and he told the people of Nineveh. Because of that, he felt like, can you at least give me shade? I did all of this for you. I've been guilty of that before, haven't you? Especially after a long day of serving God. Kind of like, hey, God, look what I've done for you. Crazy. He felt entitled. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. And I'm angry enough to die. I'll show you. I'll die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Jonah was offended. He was hurt by God's decision because he had an offense towards this people. Anger happens when we're offended as well. Maybe happens the most often when we're offended, when somebody said something behind our back, when somebody said something to our face, when they looked at us a certain way, when they laughed at what we did or said, we get offended, we get hurt, and anger rises up in us. Something we have to deal with, something that God gives us a second chance about. I want to talk about some other places in Scripture that concern itself with anger. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. That means anger in and of itself is not sin. In the Old Testament, 455 times anger is mentioned. 375 of those 455 times, the anger is God's anger. So anger can be holy, it can be godly, because God can be an angry God. In the New Testament, we see multiple times where Jesus is angry yet without sin. In fact, many of his incredible miracles happen right on the heels of great indignation on Jesus' part. Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. This tells me something else, that we will get angry because we're made in his image. Now, hear me. Godly anger and humanly anger is two different things. And we need to understand that. We cannot look at God in his anger, even look at Jesus in his anger, the same way we look at our anger. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. This is one of the enemy, the devil's, footholds in our lives. This is one of his tactics. This is one of his devices. This is one of his traps. Is when we're angry, he's got a hold of us. So anger becomes sin when we allow it to control us. When this anger has a control of us, we don't have control of the anger. The anger has a control of us. It is sin. Control means you've thought about it way too long. Control is when it's the wrong motivation. We can be angry at sin. I'm very angry at divorce and the issues that it does to families, the way that it tears apart kids. You can be angry at divorce, but it starts controlling us when we look at divorced people in a different way. We can be angry at the sin of homosexuality, but when we start looking at people that practice that sin in a different way, it's controlled us. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. There's a time factor to this as well. Anything that controls us is something we spend a long time on. If it's God, awesome, good. If it's anything else, it's alarming. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "For every minute you remain angry, you give up 60 seconds of peace of mind." Think of God again. He gives shade, something small, something insignificant really in the scheme of the world, to one of his chosen men, Jonah, because he's God. Likewise, he cares about us. It's not just the relationships that we destroy, but he also cares about our peace of mind. He does not want us to be tortured with anger. And then anger also becomes sin in our expression of that anger. What do we do with it? How do we allow it to manifest? The video clip again. I think, in human terms, going with God saying, "Do you have the right to be angry?" In human terms, we could probably say he had every right to be angry at the printer. Now, God probably would disagree with us, but we could say, yeah, I'd probably be angry. But how did he manifest it? How did he allow that expression of anger to come out? How do we? Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel, the first murder in Scripture? Cain, I always get them mixed up. Cain allowed the wrong expression of his anger. If he was angered by not being accepted, his sacrifice being accepted by God, and if he decided for his expression to be repentance and bringing the correct sacrifice, then that anger would have been holy. But instead, he allowed that anger to turn into murder. It's all about the expression. James 1:19 through 20. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." This is a really good scripture for married people. "Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry." Very practical. I love that about scripture. "For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." If it tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry, who has control over this? I heard it. Somebody else? We do. You have control over yourself. In fact, one of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5 is self-control. That's part of what we get from spending time with the Holy Spirit is self-control. We are supposed to control anger in our lives. Proverbs 29:11, "A fool gives full vent to his anger. Video clip again. That's a fool. And we laughed at him because of it. Now, it's hard to laugh at somebody who murders. It's hard to laugh at somebody who does destructive behavior with their fists, with their hands, with their words. But they are a fool nonetheless because they have given full vent to their anger. And some of us have. Maybe this morning. There's no other time that families fight more than on the way to church. I'm convinced of that. There should be a study done. But I don't think there even needs to be because I know it. So it may have even happened this morning. A wise man keeps himself under control. If you want to be wise, keep yourself under control. Last scripture. Proverbs 19:19. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. Think of what that penalty is in your life. What has your anger caused? What has my anger caused? Maybe you got out of it with just hurt feelings. You are lucky. What is that penalty? Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. It's during the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, "You've heard it said to those of old, do not murder. But I say to you, even a man who is angry at his brother is subject to judgment." God looks at the heart. He doesn't just look at the full vent of the anger, the full expression of murder. He looks at how it originated, how it started. If we want to talk about penalty, ultimately the penalty is eternal death. Just as all sin, that is the penalty. Being all serious right now because this is serious. Our anger has a penalty. We see it here and now, but there's also an eternal penalty. If you rescue him, the hot-tempered man, you will have to do it again. Why? Because it's perpetual. It's an issue with somebody. If he's hot-tempered, he has an issue. He's got a chemical, perhaps even, but a moral flaw in his nature or her nature. And if you rescue them, you say, hey, whoa, come here, buddy. Go cool off. You'll have to do it again. You'll have to do it again, and you'll have to do it again. Why? Because he needs to repent. He needs to turn from his ways and turn to God. To the God of second chances. Could I have the worship team come back up? The penalty is death. Guys, we need to be reminded of this daily, not... We do not preach a fire and brimstone gospel at this church. But we do need to be reminded from time to time that the penalty of sin is death. The penalty of anger is death. The penalty of anger is destroyed relationships. The penalty of anger is we're actually angry with God when you put it all together. And with that penalty, God has provided a way out. God has provided somebody who pays that penalty for us. Jesus Christ. The very one who on the cross, after being beaten by angry men, stabbed, spit upon by angry men, was able to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That Jesus died for our sins, died for our anger, to take that penalty away from us. Guys, please hear me. If you're Jonah here this morning and you're running from God and a big part of it is because you're just angry, maybe humanly speaking, you have every right to be angry. Maybe your parents just did you wrong. Maybe you don't even have parents. Maybe past relationships have done you wrong. Maybe drugs have done you wrong. Whatever the reason of your anger, give it to God. You cannot keep living with it. You cannot keep running from God because of your anger. Turn to him. Repent. Turn away from your anger. Will you stand with me? This morning, I want us to respond to God's word several different ways. By worshiping Him. Thank you, God, that you're the God of second chances. Thank you, God, that you can control my anger. You can help me control my anger. That by the fruit of your Spirit, you've given me self-control. I'd like to ask for the response team to come up if you need prayer for anything, but especially if you need prayer for your anger. I want you to come up and there'd be people here that love you and want to pray for you. Maybe you just need somebody to agree with you. There's those folks up here. And then we also have communion on both sides of the room. Communion represents, again, what a very meek God did by sending His Son to die on the cross for our sin, to take away our anger, to take away our sin. And when we take communion, we do show the Lord's death until He returns. We pray with me. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you know us. You know our every thought. You know our deep struggles in our souls. Lord, you know the things that cause us to be angry. Lord, you know the times when we've been able to control it and the times when we haven't. God, there is, according to your word, a penalty for our anger. Lord, some of that penalty we've already felt. We've already seen the devastation in our lives. Some of it has already been done. Lord, help us to get past what has already been done. God, we ask that you would restore the things that the enemy has taken away from us. Lord, you would restore the things that we have allowed to be taken from us because of our anger. Lord, that you would heal our hearts. You would heal our psyches. Lord, that we would respond in a healthy, godly way. Lord, we want to be closer to you. We want to be closer to people. Take away our anger, Lord.